2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, just yet, the 4th. 2 Corinthians 12. 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will count visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ. Amen. To you. Paul says he knew a man in Christ. And let there be no doubt about it, he was talking about himself. He knew himself in Christ. Do you, Scott? And asking you whether you believe in the theory of it, as expressed in the Bible, or whether you accept the doctrinal position in Christ, or whether you know yourself in Christ. Do you know yourself in Christ? Let us make no mistake about it, beloved. This man knew himself in Christ. He knew what he was in Christ too, and he knew just about where he was in Christ too. Whether or not we shall proceed along all these lines tonight is not important. The thing, beloved, that we need to notice is that this man knew himself in Christ. apparently, visions and revelations are connected with that position. Apparently, as I read the Bible, concerning visions and revelations, they're in Christ. Of course, there are lots of them outside of Christ. One needs to be very careful. And a man outside of Christ can have visions and so-called revelations. But for a man in Christ to have visions and revelations, well, praise God, our Bible is full of them. And another point I want us to notice immediately is this, that he'd been in there 14 years at least. 14 years! How many years have you been in Christ? I'm not asking positional talk about before the foundation of the world. We all know the doctrine and the theology. He knew a man in Christ 14 years ago. Above 14 years ago. Glory. Amen. What a tremendous thing. But we'll make the point there. Not stop there. Perhaps we'll come back to it a little later on. A man in Christ. It's a wonderful place to be. To know yourself in Christ. This is tremendous. This, beloved, is absolutely vital to living the life that Christ wants you to live. I want you to notice again, lest you transpose the words in your thinking, which most of us are prone to do. He did not say, I believe I was in Christ 14 years ago. We make belief equate knowledge, but this is not so. Belief is the way unto knowledge, attaining knowledge in Christ. He didn't say, I believe this. This is my faith that I'm putting out. He's simply telling you a fact. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, and it be to God. And a man in Christ, if I understand exactly what the Lord is saying, if I turn back to the fifth chapter, this is what I read, the very, very well-known and loved verse. 17. If any man be in Christ, now here it is, this isn't just for Paul, glory be to God. I said that Paul knew what he was in Christ, in that he knew he was an apostle in Christ. You will remember to that in the first epistle, he states this very clearly in the ninth chapter, when he's writing to the Corinthians early, he says, if I am not an apostle to others, doubtless I am to you. For you're the seal of mine apostleship in Christ, and so on and so on. But we may not all know so clearly as Paul knew so clearly what he was in Christ. Unfortunately, we're living in days when, owing to the general consent that we've inherited to leave out the Holy Ghost and the real truth of the fullness of the Spirit, most people that don't know today do not know what they are in Christ. They've never been shown that there is a choice and a selection and a training in the Spirit to attain under different ministries and be put in different positions. That's been lost sight of. We're just members now, sort of thing. But leaving that aside, the great thing about it is, beloved, whether or not we all know what we are in Christ, let us know this, that here is something that Paul is speaking with tremendous breadth of vision and revelation. Not only that I knew a man in Christ, meaning himself, but if any man be in Christ, and I want to say I believe that it is God's intention that every one of us should know this night that we are in Christ. And there are certain ways in which you can know whether you're in Christ or out of Him. And glory be to God for that. Our Bible doesn't leave us in the realm of fancy or guesswork. It's there so that every one of us can know completely. Amen. And here it is. If any man be in Christ, it doesn't matter who you are, he's a new creature. Now, if you're not a new creature, you're not in Christ. Amen. Only new creatures in Christ.
Yes.
There aren't any sinners in Christ. Do you understand that? If you're a sinner, you can only be a sinner outside of Him. That's right. Praise God. Every one of us, of course, can have a lapse. But you to understand, beloved, it says in verse 1 of the epistle, that is, the first chapter, it says that this epistle is written for all the saints. Not all the sinners in Christ, but all the saints. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a saint. A saint is a new creature. He's a completely new creation in Christ Jesus. He's that glorious man that God has made by combining deity with flesh. A glorious new manhood. It's a very, very wonderful thing. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, now notice, this isn't in the present tense, our past, not our passing away. You would like to read it that way perhaps, to fit in with your experience, but you mustn't make the Bible fit your experience. Old things are passed away. That's the word we use about death. We say so-and-so has passed away. Old things are passed away. All things are become new, and all things are of God. Glory. So,
Why, even things are different.
When a man's a new creature in Christ, even things are different. All things are of God. This is a great and precious, precious truth for our hearts to recognize. And, beloved, it isn't strange, perhaps, that when you get down to the end of that same chapter, where we find this man speaking to saints in verse 20, says, "We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." It's a terrible thing that he's telling the Christians that they ought to be reconciled. We lift it out and make a gospel text of it, so we say. We preach it to sinners. Of course, it's all a fact that if you need to be reconciled to God, you've surely got some sin in your life. Somewhere. This is the great thing, and he's praying Christians, saints, to be reconciled to God. It was a long time ago when God showed me this. I caught my breath, I looked, and I prayed, and I waited, and I investigated. Oh, beloved, be reconciled to God. This is a tragic thing, that in so much there is inconsistency with this great new creation of God. How we do need to have revelation of the great truth of God. How we do need to really be in Christ, in our mind, in everything. We are completely new creatures, beloved, in Christ. I know that you can translate it, "If you many man be in Christ, there is a new creation." That's absolutely right. That's for the new creatures to inhabit, to dwell in, to understand. That's what the new creation's all about. That we've got to pass in by the blessed Spirit of God to this wonderful new creation. Oh, to discover this, beloved, is glory. Glory, glory. Glory. You'll find that, of course, if you go back to the fourth chapter, in the third chapter, and you will find this, that he says in verse 6 that he's made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so we go on, and the ministration of the Spirit in verse 8 is glorious, rather glorious. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even death, which was made glorious, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth, the glory that remaineth, the glory that exceeds everything. What a tremendous thing. This great, remaining, glorious new creation in Christ that we've been brought into by the Spirit. Is it so? In your life and mine? All that remaineth is glorious. Well, hallelujah. This is a tremendous thing. All that remaineth is glorious. God's done away with a lesser kind of glory, that he might bring in this great glory, establish it, make it remain, and make it exceed in our experiences, beloved. And you will know by the end of the chapter that we are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, beloved, here is something for our hearts to understand. And if we're new creatures, then all the old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Alas, there is a sort of an opting on low-level beliefs which would guarantee people a seat in heaven when the old things haven't passed away out of their lives. I want to say that God has guaranteed nothing to the old creature but death. He's guaranteed that to the old creature. Hallelujah. This is the glorious fixation of the cross. God has fixed it. The old creature dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Old things buried, passed away. Amen. But everything is going to be glorious in your life inwardly. This is right. Amen. What we don't understand, of course, is God's wonderful ways of bringing us into the fullness of this glory. These are unfolded to us very, very clearly as we read through the epistle. We won't have time to do that completely tonight. Now, let's be quite clear about this meaning, of the meaning of the apostle when he writes about being in Christ. There's nothing nebulous about it. It isn't that sort of Christ, in Christ is some sort of very, very thing that you can't put your finger on. Well, we know what you mean. Yes. And when you come down to it, well, what do we mean by being in Christ? Oh, well, in eternal security. Oh, we all love that. We all have that. Eternally secure, this is what we want. You see? But that's not quite as Paul unfolds in this epistle. We'll see in a moment. Oh, I'm not saying there isn't such a thing as eternal security. Don't misunderstand me. I'm only saying that our weak hearts opt for that straight away. That's what we want to feel. But, beloved, here then is truth for us to understand, that we are to know precisely what the Lord means when he talks about being in Christ. If I may say to you, asking you this question, who is Christ? You will probably give me the answer that Paul brings out in the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter. Here it is. He says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgave it, here's the apposite truth, in the person of Christ. Glory. When you talk about being in Christ, you're talking about being in a person. Not in a state. Not in a place. But in a person. Now, that is in a personality. That's right. There isn't such a thing as a person without a personality. In a personality. And this is the tremendous thing that Paul is saying. This man really knows that he's in Christ, because he can forgive exactly as Christ forgave. As the person of Christ. He forgave a man as Jesus Christ himself in person would forgive him. Now this is the thing you've got to understand. You're in a person. That is, you are to move in the characteristics. You are to act in the ways. You are to speak
You are to think. You are to approach as Christ. If you're in Christ, that's what it means. This is the vastness of this new creation.
You know the story at Corinth. We needn't go into it in all its fullness and in all its sadness, as it is revealed in the first letter. And you will know that the tremendous things that went on let's just look at it just for a moment, in the First Corinthians and in the fifth chapter. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in the person of Jesus Christ. To have the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he judged his spirit. He was in Christ. And Christ was in him. And this man could move in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. And he passed the judgment of Jesus Christ. But sure, as soon as they repented, his spirit sprung up like Jesus Christ and forgave him on the spot. That's right. Well, are you in Christ? Judge you. These are the qualities. This is the excellent glory. God wouldn't be glorious if he couldn't do this kind of thing. Neither can any man. We think glory is a sort of a funny feeling when we all get hot and jump about. Glory, beloved, is the wondrous health of the whole man, the whole integration of the personality, able to leap out in love and forgiveness. Amen. You understand this? Amen. Forgiveness. In Christ, I forgave it. In the person of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you're in the person of Christ, oh, it's the easiest thing in the world to forgive. Easiest thing in the world. How many, many people does one meet? They're in all kinds of conditions and they've laid themselves open for demonic interference and I don't know what, simply because they've got an unforgiving spirit. Got an unforgiving spirit. Someone, somewhere, has done something and they won't forgive. But you see, here's the tremendous thing. We're not left in this great matter to struggle to forgive, beloved. It's just a simple thing. It's just natural. You see, you're a new creature. It's your nature that's changed. If your nature isn't changed, then you're not a new creature. If I want to make a pig into a human being, I've got to change his nature. It's no good me sitting up at the table and saying, now say after me A, B, C, and try to be nice and so on, you see. You can't do that. It's got to have its nature changed. And if you're in Christ, beloved, you're a new creature. Not only are you a new creature, but you're a new person. Amen. We don't talk in the sort of abstracts of nature qualities that require a scientist to sort of define. We talk in the things that we can understand. What sort of a person are you? What sort of a person? These are the great, great big tests, beloved.
Now, when a man's in Christ, he's got an understanding.
And let's go back, shall we, into the second epistle, because that's where we really want to be. I nearly made that reference back to tie up our whole truth. When we go in, when we're in this second epistle and the first chapter, we read this. Let's start reading at verse 17, shall we? When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? All the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ. So on. Sealed us. So on. You know the great truth. In Christ. Here it is. In Christ, beloved, all the promises of God in him are yes. Yes. So this is the tremendous thing that the Lord said, you remember. If you just take your thinking back into John 15. Let's tie this up, shall we? In John 15, we're told about the vine. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is a tremendous truth. They could only be clean by the word he spoke, because as yet he hadn't shed his blood. They didn't know cleansing in his blood. They only knew cleansing by his word at that time. All right? That's right. Of course, he spoke from the condition of his blood within him that he was going to shed to redeem us. But at that time, they were not cleansed in his blood. They were only cleansed by his word. Tremendous truth. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Not I outside of you. All right? Abide in me, and I in you. Careful reading of the word of God makes all the difference in the world, darling. Abide in me, and remember, I in you. That's the thing. And if you abide in me, and verse 7 I'm looking at, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, because all the promises of God in me are yes. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes. See what God wants to be saying to you all the time? Yes, 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 yes. Did you say that, son? Amen. That's God. This is the man in Christ. Amen. I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. You are the branches. Just a branch of me. That's all you are. Yes. 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 Positive. Glorious. Wholesome. Fruit in the life. All
all the promises of God in him, all of them. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are of God. Is that right? All things are of God. Old things are passed away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would God every heart saw this. Would God that every one of us believed this. How many times do we stand up and proclaim to others they've got to believe the word of God? Would God every one of us in this room believe this? That all old things are passed away. And all things are become new. And all things are of God. Oh, glory. This is wonderful. And God in Christ to me is committed. God had committed himself. We'll go back and say before the foundation of the world, but let's come into the things that we know as revealed in the scripture. God was committed to me in that bloodshed of Calvary. Committed to me. After that. Yes. 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 And Paul said, now when we came to you, whether it was I or Silvanus or Timothy, we all spoke the same thing. We all kept saying, yes, 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 yes. We didn't say, no, no, yes, no, no, yes. Oh, but surely that sanity, that sensible, but you see, Paul wasn't sensible. He was called mad. He wasn't sensible by man's standards. Yes. Yes, yes, oh beloved, if our hearts could only grasp the extent to which God is committed and devoted unto us, utterly. God has expended himself as no human being can expend himself. He's expended at Calvary through the blood, and then at Pentecost in the outpouring of the Spirit, fancy reaching down and gathering us all up into God. Into Christ. Did you ever hear of such a thing? Hans Andersen couldn't have thought of such a thing. But God has revealed it. Amen. And it's true. And we're in him. Yes, he says, amen. Every one of my promises in my Son, I guess. And you're a new creature, and with new creature powers you can lay hold of these, and so can I. With new creature confidence we can lay hold of these things. Amen. Newly created power within you, newly created acquisitive faculties, newly created believing and receiving powers. Is that right? Are you a new creature? Yes. Or are you still flogging yourself, trying to make yourself believe something? I find, beloved, that when I get away and alone with God, my spirit goes ascending. Sometimes I think it ascends up too high. I don't know whether I get away. You know what I mean? Praise God. To come down and to walk on in this glorious way with Christ. This is what God is after. I'm in him. I'm in him. That's where I am. Glory. And this was such a big thing with Paul. Let's expand this thing. I want to mostly stop in the Second Corinthian letter, but we'll nip over now into the Philippian letter. And in the Philippian letter, this is what we'll find. Verse 7 of the third chapter. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him.
That's right. That's right.
In him. Found in Christ. Glory. Glory. And this is all he wanted. This is where he lived. This is where he was. This is where he moved. This was everything to him. This is what made him a man of God. This is what made him a dispenser of the blessings of God. This is what made him able to abound in the certainty and authority of the blessed Christ of God. He could forgive, or he could judge, or he could do all sorts of things. And this is very, very wonderful. I know that men are given powers according to the position and the calling wherewith God has placed and called them to function in his body. I know that. But oh, beloved, the man that gets there never knows quite when he's there. All he knows is that he keeps on believing and keeps on believing and keeps on passing on. He hasn't passed any examinations. There isn't an A-levels. And there's no entrance exam. I think, well, I've done this, I should be all right. No, 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 no. He just keeps going on. He doesn't understand the thing, except that he loves Christ. He's in Christ. He believes that everything's passed away. He's swallowed up in Christ. Everything's done. You understand that? And he's not aiming to get somewhere. He's in someone. Utterly and totally in love with him. That's right. He's in it. And that's all he cares about. This is right.
Praise God.
Be found in him. Oh, glory. Well, you know what Peter said, don't you, in his epistle? Be found in him without spot. That's what it says. Glory. Hallelujah. All right, come back to the 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians then, in the 2nd chapter, this wonderful truth again. Oh, let's read it. Now listen. Verse 10, that's where we left our reading. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Now listen, beloved, as surely as you do not act in Christ, Satan will get an advantage of you, and get an advantage of a church. You understand this? As surely as we do not live in Christ, we may be wonderful exponents of the Bible. We may have a wonderful grasp of this, that, or the other. If we don't live in the person of Christ, the Satan's got an advantage over us any time. The only thing he cannot get advantage over is Christ. That's right. He can get advantage over us where Bible knowledge is concerned. You understand that?
Yes.
But he cannot get an advantage over us in the person of Christ. Oh, glory. And he says, this, we're not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, now notice the reading here, when I came to Troas to Christ's gospel, not to preach it, that's not there in the Greek. When I came to Troas to Christ's gospel, glory, you stop and pause about that and think about that. I haven't got time now. And a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Triumphing in Christ. What was the great triumph here? Oh, well, there's a tremendous lot of it. Let's go back to the first chapter. I think we ought to read it. It's always important to read all the introductory truths to the particular one that you're going to study, and then you'll always say what God wants you to say about it. And here we have it in this first chapter, in verse 4, or that's the last phrase of verse 3. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein with we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And remember that this consolation and salvation is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, and so on and so on and so on. And here's this man, triumphing in Christ. Triumphing in Christ. Glorious, this man. All the trouble that came to him, quite opposite to what lots of people lead you to believe today. You shouldn't have any more troubles if you get baptized in the Spirit or something like that. That's a lot of nonsense. Trouble that came to us. But you said a bit earlier, it was glory, that's right. Glorious trouble.
Oh.
You say, what? That's the trouble, you see. That's your trouble. Glorious trouble. You do understand, don't you, beloved, that some aspects of the glory of God can never be known to you if you're never in trouble. If you never press above measure and beyond strength, if you're never in need of deliverance, I'm always in need of deliverance, personally. That doesn't mean I'm always needing devils cast out of me, don't misunderstand me. But I'm always in need of deliverance, apparently the Apostle Paul was. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. Always in need of deliverance. And this tremendous thing to pass on in this wonderful life. And he lived in this, beloved, and triumphed in Christ. Of course. And you look at this other aspect of this triumphing in Christ. He comes to Macedonia. He's come to Christ's gospel. God sent me here. I'm not budging from here. A door's open to me. I'm going to stop here and preach. No, he wouldn't. And you know for what reason? He wouldn't stay and preach when God opened the door for him. So, well, there was a disobedient man. He wouldn't. Because he knew it was much more valuable to gain a brother and to abide in love and move in love than it was to preach the gospel. You understand that? Much more important. He knew that. And this man triumphed in Christ. In Christ, all the promises were yay! Amen! He moved in Christ. He could say, Lord, open the door for me in Macedonia! Yes, Paul. That's right. That's no trouble to God. Lord, I'll preach the gospel for you here. Amen, Paul. And then he gets there and then the test is on. Is he really in the person of Christ? Is it? Where are his priorities? In guidance and preaching? Or in loving? Where are his priorities? Ah, beloved, glory to God. What a wonderful thing. A man in Christ. I want to be this man in Christ. He triumphed. Why? Because even a man in Christ, like the blessed Christ himself,
is subject to devilish temptations of times. Christ sent me here to preach. I can't be bothered about Titus. Where's he? Paul Barnabas and the mighty apostle. And how many men have gone wrong here? How many? But this man triumphed in Christ. And you know, wherever he went, God looked out and he smelled. This man smelled sweet to me. He was a sweet savor of Christ. To God. Sweet savor of Christ. That's just what Jesus would have done, says Father. Just what Jesus would have done. Mm-hmm. You know, beloved, this is where we've all got to be. This is just like Jesus. Praise God. We're back then, beloved, really on the old, old thing. Aren't we? As I say, there's only one thing to preach, really. To be like that blessed Lord Jesus Christ is what God is after in our lives. Mm. A man in Christ. Now, a man in Christ, beloved, as I have said already, is a man who gets revelations from God. He moves in the realm of revelation, book in hand, of course. This is right. A revelation of the Lord. In fact, Paul said in the first letter to the Corinthians, I'm no use to if I don't speak to you by revelation. That's what he said. He didn't say, well, I'm a lot of use to if I speak to you by my Bible knowledge. Of course I can teach you. He said in the Corinthian letter, in the 14th chapter, you will find it for yourself, when I come to you speaking in tongues, if I don't speak by this and that and by revelation, this is a tremendous thing. The gospel that he preached was by revelation, he certified to the Galatian letter, into the Galatian believers in the first chapter. What a wonderful thing to move into the world of revelation. Now, beloved, it isn't for any one of us to sit back and say, oh, well, of course, that was wonderful, and he was the mighty apostle. One could tell you stories of this same kind of thing happening in flesh and blood men in 1968. And 1967, and 1966, and 1965, and 64, we could have gone back too. It isn't just that this is something which is set aside for highly specialized people. Beloved, you and I are to live in this realm. But you've got to know yourself in Christ for this. You've got to know yourself in Christ. You must not know yourself outside of Christ. There must be no part of you or I which is outside of him. Nothing. You must remember, beloved, that there aren't such things as compartments in the life of a true child of God. That we're in him. In him, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we carry on along this wonderful line, beloved, that God shows to us here, we can go on, perhaps I soon ought to finish, in the last chapter, you will find Paul speaking like this. In the
13th chapter, in the third verse, Christ speaking in me. Christ speaking in me. Hallelujah. Is that right? Christ speaking in me. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God spoke to us in Christ? There it is. Christ speaking to men in you. Same thing. What a wonderful place. God spoke to us in Christ. God was in Christ. I am in Christ. Christ speaking in me. Oh, nothing short of this will do, beloved. Nothing short of this. I believe, brothers and sisters, that we've got to pass through all stages of development. For you will remember that it says in the first epistle, if we go there, third chapter of the first epistle, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. See? There's a babe. And then in the 13th chapter, he says, different word being used here, the 11th verse, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I knew a man in Christ. That's the thing. Not a babe in Christ. Not a child in Christ. I knew a man in Christ. So you see, it's not only important to know that you're in Christ, but it's important to know what you are in Christ. A babe, a child, a man. In Christ, what are you? Now, nothing wrong with you being a babe if you're a babe. That's glorious. You understand this dear saint, this Mrs. Ainsworth that rang me up last evening, she's just a babe. Just a babe in Christ. Burnt the toast this morning. She'll put away such childish things, I expect, as she goes on. Now, she didn't burn the toast deliberately. She was just glorying in God, and she forgot whether it was burning or what was happening, you see. But she'll go on by the Lord's grace. My word, if her indication's right, she was over here the other day and she came with a great big lump of paper and a pencil and sat and wrote down everything. Everything. Ooh. My, she meant to go on. Glory be to God. But there's a way, beloved, in the Spirit of God to pass from babyhood through thinking, speaking, and acting as a child. Putting away childish things and going on into manhood in the blessed Spirit. Oh, beloved, I am persuaded of this, whether you agree with me or not, I do not know.
But I, for one, am utterly persuaded that the great lack among us this day is men in Christ. Mm-hmm. Men. Plenty of babes. Plenty of them. Plenty. Glory be to God, if you've just been born again, beloved, come on, we'll laugh and romp with you and jump about. That's great. But there aren't many men. There are too many people just babes yet after 14 years. That's the trouble. To go on to be a man in Christ. Are you going on to be a man? Well, you know all the differences between men and babies, don't you? Or men and children. You know all the differences. Differences in the matter of the gifts of the Spirit and their use. Differences in the matter of your attitude, one to another. Difference in your attitude to things. Yes. Oh, may God bring us on in this. I knew a man in Christ. And you know, as you go down that chapter, I don't want to examine it completely tonight. It gets to the place he says, I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. Well, I take it that you with me want all that. A new creature. The new creature, beloved, must become a wonderful, stable man. And remember, there's a lot of difference between the sort of exciting and tremendous things that happen to you when you're a babe and the catching up to heaven when you're a man. Yes, to be caught up to heaven. And to move in these great things of the Spirit of God, where you move into the counsels of God, where you begin to understand things that first you believed and experienced, and then you begin to understand and move with clarity and know what you're doing. This is the great thing as God moves upon us all, beloved. But I suppose I have better finish with this without just this one word in the Second Corinthians, and it's this. In the 11th chapter, you will find him saying this. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. And so he goes on. But you see, here's the great simplicity, beloved, that's in Christ, that well, I just heard this great, wonderful love of Jesus, and I received a spirit from him. I received a spirit from Jesus.
I received the Spirit, glory, when I received that Spirit, beloved, I became a new person. I wasn't a new person until I received that Spirit. I wasn't. I didn't become a new person because I believed a lot of scriptures. I believe I became a new person when I opened myself to receive a Spirit from Jesus. That's right. That's the simplicity of it. Yeah. And I was espoused to him. I found that Spirit I received was espoused to him. Glory. In all chastity and virginity, a perfect and holy love. That's what I found. I don't know what you found, but that's what I found. And that's the glorious simplicity of it all. It just is like this. This is the way God's provided it. This is what it is. And this is really what he's talking about, see, because they, you know, in the first episode, oh, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of somebody else. Well, he said, I suppose I wasn't behind the very chiefest of the apostles. You must read that down through that chapter. He's really back on this same thing. When Apollos came, did you receive another Spirit? Of course you didn't. Did he preach another Jesus? No, of course he didn't. Was it a different gospel? No. It's all the same. Here's the simplicity of it all, beloved. Remember that in Christ, this is the vital relationship that you've received from him, a Spirit. I find a Spirit in me, as old William Penrod said, that delights to do no evil, as to avenge no wrong. Found in him. Glory. This is the way it goes. This is the way it moves. And it's espoused to him. Glory. I've got all the anticipations of the glorious marriage. Glory. Glory. And he's become my most excellent lover and Lord. Yeah, this is its simplicity. Frankly, it's like that. And all you do, beloved, is yield and let the Lord just keep on filling you and moving you on. Lord, this promise, that promise, this promise, that promise. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I see that what God has really promised out to me as written words in the scripture is just you, your inward state. This is what it is. You are all. And really, I'm not seeking after promises now. I'm seeking after you. Amen. And I have found, beloved, that many and many of these great promises of God I have not had to anticipate, nor pore over, nor stick a pin in, or a stake in. I found that they have worked out as principles in my life. That's what I found. I found that these are the indispensable working rules of God. This is what I have found. They're promises to me. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And I want to move in them. Yes, yes, yes. Amen, 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 amen. With more regularity than the ticking of the wheels in the train that I've gone up to London. And I go, tickety, 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 yes, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, beloved, if we could all relax back into this glorious life in Christ, if all of us believed it, if all of us came off the stretch and the strain, if we all just let the Lord do it, believe you. That's right. Everything had come right. Mm-hmm. Everything had come right. This is what I find. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to stop.